loneliness, Father God, drug abuse, spousal abuse, Father God, financial issues, financial worries and concerns about bills. Father God, we lay all of these worries, all of these concerns, Father God, down at the foot of your cross, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father God. We don't have to worry about it anymore, Lord. Father God, we pledge to quit spending our lives, Lord, living in the world, Father God. Don't be worried about worldly things. Be worried about the kingdom of heaven. Be worried how you can help grow the kingdom, how you can change, how you can influence others, how to speak positive words of affirmation into people's lives. Amen. Jesus, thank you so much, Father God. Thank you so much, Father God. Thank you so much, Jesus. Father God, thank you so much, Lord. I just lift up this care group to you, and I lift up this Bible study to you, Father God. I just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that those with ears can hear, Father God, that those that have faith press in, Father God, and seek your word tonight, Father God. Lord, I pray that the words that you give them soak in their souls, Father God, and that they're changed, Jesus, by these words. In your name we pray, amen, amen, amen. I really had an epiphany tonight and just wanted to share what God has been teaching me. Tonight I'm going to be teaching a lot from the book of John because we're going to be learning about love. And the Gospel of John is not really so much about the life of Christ, but it's really about who Jesus was, the incarnation. In the very first chapter, he says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God." John was an eyewitness. He saw 8 miracles. He was there when water was turned into wine. He was there during the healing of the official's son. He was there when the lame man was healed at the pool of Bethesda. He was there when 5,000 were fed. He saw walking on water. He saw Jesus restore sight to the blind. He witnessed Lazarus being raised from the dead. The greatest of these signs, of course, is the resurrection. In John's book, describes a stirring eyewitness account of exactly what happened. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we're going to be learning about something tonight. And this is very, very important because we're going to be learning about love tonight. "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. Love each other just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." See, to love others isn't really a new commandment, but to love others as Christ loved others was a completely new take on the whole love others theme. Now we're learning to love others based on Jesus' sacrificial theme, which was completely different. But by loving others as Jesus loved us is the exact thing we can use to build the body of Christ, to build the church. And it also will keep believers strong and united in a world that's completely hostile toward God. Jesus says that our Christ-like love will show we are his disciples. Let's face it. If somebody comes to your church, do they see bickering, jealousy, and division? Or do they judge how righteous you are by the love that you show others? Love is more than a warm feeling. It's really an attitude that reveals action. How can we love others as Jesus loves us? How can we love others as Jesus loves us? I'm going to give you some examples. By giving when it hurts. By devoting energy to others' welfare rather than to our own. And by absorbing hurts from others without complaining or fighting back. This is hard. Peter proudly told Jesus that he was ready to die for him, but Jesus corrected him. He knew Peter would deny that he knew Jesus that very night to protect himself. The Lord Jesus gave us a new commandment, which tells us to love one another. This is the most important commandment of all, because it is coming from the head of the church. This specific charge tells us to love our fellow Christians. And Jesus said this when he was talking to his disciples. We are his disciples today. And loving one another is the biggest part of our witness to the world. Loving one another is how we show other people that we're truly Christians. I want to teach everyone tonight how to love one another. Our love for our brothers and sisters can be shown through our giving and serving other Christians. In John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down your life for the life of a friend." Greater love has no one than this. Than to lay down one's life for his friends. We are to love each other as Jesus loved us, and he loved us enough to give his life for us. To lay down your life for a friend is the most ultimate sacrifice that you can do to show love. I believe most people would lay down their lives for their children. I believe most people would lay down their lives for their wife or their husband. But would you lay down your life for a friend? Would you lay down your life for someone that treated you badly? For a boss that was horrible to you? For a neighbor that made your life miserable? For someone at church that despises you? For people in authority that continually hound you? Would you lay down your life for one of those? According to Jesus, being a Christian means to be a person of love and service. We need to love each other as he loves us, and he loved us and gave himself for us. Giving is the chief expression of love. The greatest expression of love is not saying, "I love you," or "I have feelings for somebody." A lot of times in the Arctic Circle, when you greet somebody, when you end the conversation, you'll end with, "I love you." It's said so many times up there that it's lost its meaning. And I've been in this church for 15 years, 14 years. And when I first came to this church, I used to say, "I love you," to everybody. And at first they would accuse me of hitting on them. They would tell the pastor that I tried to hit on them. There were so many gossips. But now I can safely report to you that after all this time, I hear so many people in church say, "I love you." Because it's an expression of goodwill. It's an expression of our love. To love your enemies. To love those that despitefully use you. To love those that continually gossip about you. To love those that would throw you in a ditch, let alone loan you a dollar, takes an amount of integrity that only love can bring forth. Yeah. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." What an amazing scripture. God's love is not static or self-centered. It reaches out. It drags other people in. When you love someone, you are willing to give freely to the point where you don't have anything else to give. God paid dearly with the price of his son, the highest price he could pay. When we share the good news with others, our love must be like Jesus's, willingly giving up our own comfort and security so that others might join us in receiving God's love. That is very hard. I know that it is. Because a lot of these people that we need to love are people that we're angry at. Can you imagine, though, what the world would be like if we loved one another? What the church would be like if we loved one another? What would the world be like if we all took a day and looked up everyone that we ever wronged and apologized? God is love, and love gives. We are children of God, so we live to give. When you are full of the love of God, you will get up in the morning and think, what can I give? This giving is more than just giving money. You can give your time. You can give your talent. You can give your acts of service. You can go and listen to someone's problems on the phone for 30 minutes, biting your lip the whole time. Learn how to speak encouraging words into people's lives. Learn how to be positive in the midst of your trials. It's when you are going through difficult times in your life and you maintain a positive mental attitude and you breathe words of encouragement, that's like a sweet incense to God. Look at Richard down there. He's so kind. He breathes words of encouragement. Even though he's going through this horrible trial, he never gossips and just talks so nice to people. And oh, look how he walked his friend to the bus stop and helped his buddy move into the apartment. God notices those things. In Romans 12:10, it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Listen, let's be honest. There are two ways to honor people. One way, we have ulterior motives. For instance, we honor our boss because we're going to get something out of our boss. We honor our pastor because there's maybe a motive there to impress our pastor. We honor people that have authority over us because there is a motive there. Maybe we even honor the wealthy people so they would contribute to our cause. But God's way involves love. In God's kingdom, we honor people because people were created in the image of God. And love is the basis of that. We have to love one another. And that includes people that have despitefully used you. That includes people that you're upset with. That includes people that gossip about you. God's way of loving one another is very, very difficult. It's hard to show love. But what's even harder is to speak words of encouragement. Let me tell you something. Words can heal or destroy. If you continually speak negativity over your life, that just gives the enemy like open rein to use those words against you. I have been learning that lately. I have been trying to break the habit of speaking negativity over my life. I'm so thankful for all these ways that I'm changing, you know, and just speak positive words. Paul says that love gives preferential treatment. God tells us to esteem other people. When we love, we serve our brothers and our sisters. And that was what Jesus commanded us to do. If you guys go to Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you guys know anybody that serves? Always there to help you?
Yeah, a lot of people.
My father-in-law is always there to help me. He never says no. My friend Brendan is always there to help me. He never says no. Never does he says no. Jesus paid a ransom for us because we could not pay that ransom ourselves. We have to begin to be a good example to other people. We have to start speaking positive words of affirmation into other people's lives. We have to learn how to love even the people that despitefully use us, even the people that
that we don't want to love. Selfishness is so prevalent that it is not noticed anymore. People, you know, a common saying is, you know, I work full time. I don't have time to serve. And I just don't have time to do that. But you have to really examine your hearts and your motives. You have to really look into yourselves and start peeling away the selfishness. And I am so thankful that I've gone through this trial that I'm going through. You know, this trial caught me completely off guard because I thought it was just going to be a little short 2 month, you know, melt everything down, do a little scraping, and then leave me alone. But I'm so thankful because I realized how selfish I was, how I didn't want to, you know, spend time helping people. It revealed to me my weaknesses, my stupidity, my things that I didn't even know about myself. It's made me appreciate just having a few moments with my family alone. It's made me appreciate going out to dinner. You know, there's been so many times I've been so close to death, and the times that I thought I was going to die for sure, and I remember I could smell the grass. The green on the trees seemed so beautiful to me. I can hear the bees. Things you never even heard of, completely forgot about, you just take for granted. All of a sudden, you just capture in a moment of time, and you really think about those moments when you think that there's nothing left. And when you start thinking like that, you start realizing how amazingly beautiful this world is that we live in, that God created for us. And then when your spiritual ears get in tune, you begin to realize that we're in a battle.
Yeah.
And it's moving very, very quickly, the train now. I mean, the enemy has so much control right now. Now more than ever, we need to love one another. We need to serve one another. We need to show God's love to as many people as we possibly can. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. A really great scripture. I love teaching from Pastor Caesar's teachings because they're really anointed. But for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. In that very verse, Paul makes an amazing distinction between the freedom to sin and the freedom to serve. Sin is no freedom at all, because it enslaves you to Satan. Christians, by contrast, should not be slaves to sin. We should be slaves to, like, honoring one another, loving one another, serving one another. When we lose the motivation of love, we become critical. That is what God revealed to me. The less I love somebody, the more critical I am of them. The more that I love somebody, my criticism goes down. So the very people that I have been very critical of, angry with, I have been recently trying to show love to them as much as I possibly can. We have been saved, redeemed, made free and healed, made righteous and given authority. Why? So we could sit by in our big house and with fancy clothes and say, oh, I am rich, I am healed, I am free? No, we are healed and have strength so that we can serve and help others. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
So we really have to serve and help others. We really have to show love to others, even the people that are completely loveless. And we have to show love. We have to start serving, living by the Spirit's power. So let us pray right now for miracles to happen. And let's just try to usher in like a new level of love and peace that we can go and show others love, even people that despitefully use us. And you have to do this while you're going through your difficult times. It's how you show love. It's how you speak positive words of encouragement going through your trial that really matures you. It really sands you down. It really prepares you for work in the kingdom. So if you're going to sit there and complain, God's not going to want to use you. But if you're going through a burning furnace and you're showing love to your enemies and you're speaking positive words into people's lives, God is going to see that, and you're going to stand out like a red lily in a sea of yellow lilies. You're going to be able to be seen by God. You're going to be like the fruit that just survived the winter and the summer, and it's just hanging there. And when you're ready, God will pick you and use you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's say prayers then. Dear Father God, to Lord Heaven, thank you so much for tonight, Father God. Thank you for your word, Lord. Holy Father, I pray that we show love. I pray that we get rid of any spirits, Father God, of anger and criticism, Lord. And I pray that we learn how to show love, especially to our enemies. I pray that we all begin to speak positive words over our own lives and the lives of others, Father God. I pray, Lord, that every time we see people, we'll speak positive words of encouragement. Thank you so much, Father.